offers a 5-year fixed rate option. Talked about offering a 10-year fixed rate option, but essentially it uses some of the legacy fund money in a roundabout way to fund projects here in North Dakota, instead of buying U.S. Treasuries or New Jersey Transit bonds. You know, they're buying Bank of North Dakota CDs. We use those funds to make loans to companies like we did recently with MDU to fund their Gwinner expansion. We used it for the Tesoro refinery in Dickinson, and you know, things like that. And so we've had this as an on.
Chairman Kempenick here, Representative Kreit, Senators Klein, Dotsenrod, Mr. Hardemeyer,
here.
Mr. Morissette,
here.
Mr. Rauschenberger.
Here. We have a quorum. Okay, consideration of the minutes of December 3rd. I have in front of me here, and I got to apologize. I should have contacted Mr. Hardemeyer, and that was kind of one of those things that we should have done. And then, is there approval or motion to approve the minutes? Okay, it's moved and seconded. Do voice vote on that. Do we need to this all? All approve, say aye.
Aye.
Nay. Okay. That motion carries. I guess we'll go to Dave if you want to come up and give your presentation.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dave Hunter, Service Executive Director and Chief Investment Officer for the Retirement Investment Office. To my right is Darren Scholes, Deputy Chief Investment Officer. Darren's been here since 2012. I've been here since the late 2013. Really appreciate Darren, everything you did to get this presentation together over the past several weeks. Let's see here. So I'm going to start off, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, with the Budget Stabilization Fund. It didn't seem to be moving up there. Is that of importance? It's moving on here. Apologize.
Maybe it's got to be the full screen. I don't know.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that a great deal. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm going to start off with the Budget Stabilization Fund first. So as of December 31st, 2018, got about $115 million in assets. The asset allocation is predominantly short-term fixed income. You can see we're very close to that overall. On the next page, we look at the results for the periods ended December 31st, 2018. For the 5 years ended 12/31/2018, we generated a net return of about 1.46%, surpassing the policy benchmark of 0.94% by about 0.52%. For the 1 year ended 12/31/18, we generated a net return of about 1.56%, a little bit below the policy benchmark, about 6 bps. Subsequent to December 31st, we've had the opportunity to look at the January results. January, needless to say, has been pretty positive. We generated about a 0.46% return. So if you go on a fiscal year-to-date basis, instead of the 1.49 as of 12/31, we're up to about 1.94% for the 7 months ended January 31st, 2019. We actually became positive with our excess return as well. So that's just a function of the rising short-term rate environment as a result of the Fed funds rates being hiked up 4 times in 2018. Yes.
Dave, how short is short term in this fund?
We're generally within 1 to 2 years.
Okay. Because I was wondering, you know, because that's, I was reading some articles there here a while back, and they said when, and I think you actually touched on it, when short term become higher than long term, then you start looking at we might run into other issues and stuff on it, but that's what I was trying to, wondering what you were looking at and stuff on it. We might have to kind of have a conversation when we meet here in June or something there before the next meeting. And this was just kind of, this meeting today was just kind of to get kind of where we're at to, when we're finishing up the session and what the conversation is for what we can expect in June for legacy. And this fund, I know they're forecasting close to $500 million in this again. And so that's why we'll have that conversation at that time. No.
Very good, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the update. The next page just kind of highlights the Fed funds rates over the past 30 or 40 years. Again, you can see that in 2015 and 2016, there was one 25 basis point rate hike. In 2017, there were actually three rate hikes. And then in 2018, there were four. My understanding is Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell indicated earlier today that perhaps there may be no rate hikes in the near-term future, and there may be even be some kind of pulling back on some of the quantitative tightening, which we will see how it kind of progresses. But needless to say, it was generally well received by the market. Mm-hmm. Again, this is just some 1 and 5 year returns. I'm going to flip to page 9 again for the 5 years ended just December 31st, 2018. We generated about a 0.5% of excess return over the benchmark, about 0.52. So again, for the 5 years ended, 12/31/18 generated a net return of about 1.46%, surpassing the policy benchmark of 0.94%. So okay. The next page 10, just kind of highlights the fees for the Budget Stabilization Fund. So it's been held pretty consistent at about 0.15% or about 15 basis points. Again, we're getting a good return on our fees. We're paying about 15 basis points, but we're getting an excess return of about 0.5%. So whenever we can pay a small amount of fees, such as 15 basis points, get that 15 basis points back, plus get another 0.5% on top of that, we're doing pretty good overall.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it isn't. Yeah, the fees are real, real competitive.
Yes. Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we had kind of gone through the advisory board's investment policy statement in May for both the Budget Stabilization Fund and the Legacy Fund. There's really no changes at this point in time for the Budget Stabilization Fund. However, if there's any questions on the investment policy statement, just let me know, and I'd be happy to address them at this point in time. Otherwise, that was my prepared remarks for the Budget Stabilization Fund.
Okay. Any questions, committee? Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm going to focus on the Legacy Fund at this point in time. If you look at page 16, so this is kind of the statement of net position as of January 31st, 2019. In the blue arrow on the bottom left, you'll see the total net position. It's a pretty small print there, but about a little under $6 billion, about $5.962 billion. If you go over to the right-hand side at the bottom, the number that we probably get the most number of questions about is kind of what the earnings are as defined by North Dakota Century Code 2110-12. As of January 31st, 2019, for the 19 months ended, January 31st, 2019, the total amount of transferable earnings is $381 million.
We still got put 5 months to go.
Still 5 months to go.
Yep.
Those numbers obviously can go up and down. January was a great month. We actually popped up about $44 million in the month of January alone. Yep. I would expect it to go up in February, but we shall see.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to put the brakes on. I know that they want another $100 million out of this, and then we'll go from there and stuff on it. But that's a lot. That's why I think we've been pretty good here about pre-spending. I got brought up the other day by a banker, said, pre-spending, you mean OD? And I said, well, I guess you could call it that. He said, pre-spend your paycheck, huh? And so hopefully we don't have to do that this session where we got to wait till the money's in the bank and then start over again. So anyways, go ahead, Dave.
Very good. So the next page 17, just highlights the asset allocation. As you will recall, when we first started out, we had 100% short-term fixed income investment. We transitioned that over the course of about 18 months. In January 2015, we reached the current target asset allocation, which is, broadly speaking, is 50% equities, 35% fixed income, and 15% real assets. Again, that asset allocation was affirmed when we met with the advisory board here in May and with the state investment board in May and kind of confirmed the status quo, steady as you go. So for at page 18, you're going to see the returns for the 5 years ended December 31st, 2018. The legacy fund generated a net return of about 4.3%. That was about 70 basis points better than its policy benchmark of about 3.6%. You can see for the 3 years ended 12/31/18, it was about 5.5%, again, about 0.81% better than its policy benchmark. For the 1 year ended 12/31/2018, it was challenged. We had a significant decline in the global equity markets, about a 13% decline in the fourth quarter. Needless to say, when we have a 50% equity allocation, we're going to feel that pain. I'm happy to say that January was a much better month. We were able to turn this number to be almost positive. We had about a 4.5% improvement in the month of January alone, and I'm hopeful that we will become positive on a fiscal year-to-date basis when we present the February 28th numbers come the end of this month.
Okay. Any questions, committee, on this? Okay.
I am going to flip to page 22. So page 22 kind of highlights the legacy fund performance for the 3 years ended 12/31/18. I think the most important thing to emphasize is that we're beating our policy benchmark. If you look at the upper right-hand corner of page 22, you see that the net of fees return again for the legacy fund for the 3 years ended 12/31/18 was about 5.5%. The policy benchmark, based upon if we were investing in passive indexes, it would be about 4.7. So the fact that we're beaten by about 0.8% serves well. The State Investment Board is doing a nice job of picking managers that are outperforming their benchmarks on an overall basis. If you look at the bottom kind of table in the right, far right-hand column, there's a column called total relative return. You can see generally we have positive numbers with the exception of U.S. large cap. If there's one sector that's probably the toughest to beat the index in is in U.S. large cap, but just about everything else, we're creating a nice little bit of excess return.
Any questions, committee? One thing, Dave, on this, what are we looking, you know, like on large cap, and I know what we've gone, what are, because it is one of our higher percentages of where the funds invested and stuff.
Yes.
On it. What is kind of the outlook? I've been reading, looks like it's positive too, but it looks like it's a little, like you said, a little tougher to, you have any comments about
sure.
that?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we structure some of our U.S. large cap exposure that we share in the profits when we make excess in when we beat the markets with our managers. So if there's a situation where we're not actually beating the market, we're actually declining, we're actually not going to kind of develop a credit with our manager. So it's a way to make sure that hopefully over the long term, if we pick the right managers, that we're going to have a slight bit of incremental return. Again, U.S. large caps are the toughest place to do it. Historically, we've done okay in it, but for this three-year period, and it's been a little bit challenged. I will say the fourth quarter of 2018 for a lot of folks, which this includes, was the most challenged. But I'm optimistic going forward.
Okay. Any questions, committee? Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, page 23 highlights the fees of the legacy fund for the fiscal year ended 2017 and fiscal year ended 2018. I'm going to just focus on 2017 first. So in the green box, you see we paid about 0.34% or about a third of 1% in fees. The brown box next to it kind of translates this into dollars. We spent about $14.564 million in fees to manage our $4.3 billion of average assets that we had outstanding during the year. I think it's important not to only focus on how much fees we pay, but what we get in return for that. If you look at the bottom right, the outperformance below in fiscal year 2017, we actually outperformed the benchmark by over 2%. So if we beat the benchmark by 2% and we have $4 billion of investments, that $4 billion times 2% actually translates into over $80 million of incremental income for our plan. So did we spend $14.5 million? Yes. We got that $14.5 million back plus another $80 million by being successful in doing our manager research and putting it all together. For fiscal year 2018, it's a similar story, not quite as compelling, but still quite good. Overall, the fees as a percentage went down from 0.34 to 0.31% on an absolute basis because there was a higher amount of investments outstanding. The dollar amount went up to $16.6 million. We outperformed our benchmark by a little bit over 1%. So again, if you just step back and say we had about $5 billion of assets outstanding, we beat the benchmark by about 1%, that translates into $50 million. So spent $16.5 million, got $16.5 million back, plus another $50 million. So it goes to show that we're doing pretty well on active management overall.
Dave, what do you think when, you know, as the fund grows larger, and I know you had when we had you in front of committee, you know, like the $14 billion that SIB is managing and stuff on it, how does this fit into the, in, you know, like the legacy, this, you know, the, you know, 5.7 now or whatever, but how does that fit into the you know, as far as when you go talking to managers and fees and things like that, with, because it, you're talking the whole picture, aren't you,
yes, of
what SIB has and stuff on it. It isn't just this fund, but do you give them, you go in and say, what's your best and final offer type, sure, conversation and stuff on it, or how's that work?
Sure. So we're Darren, Eric, myself, and the State Investment Board, we're constantly working with our managers on a regular basis to make sure as we have more monies to invest,
yeah,
we have greater leverage and bargaining power. It's a tremendous situation to be in. We were able just most recently, we're actually bringing in a firm called Prudential Global Investment Management on Friday, in which because of us having more money, we're able to push a little bit more money to them, and we're going to get a 2 basis point decline in fees. And 2 basis points may not sound like a lot, but on $1 billion, it's a, yeah, couple $100,000 a year, yeah, and it all adds, yeah, up over, yeah, time. Yeah. So it's served us well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any questions, committee?
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, members of committee, page 24 is kind of a roll forward of legacy fund deposits, earnings, and net positions through January 31st, 2019. This is the most recent month end that we've closed. We won't close out February 28th till the end of March. So you can see deposits, kind of life to date, totals of about $4.9 billion as of January 31st, 2019. You go one column over in blue, you see that total net earnings of the legacy fund from inception to date through January 31st, 2019 is a little bit over $1 billion, $1.053 billion. Net increase, again, you just add those two up. The ending net position then as of January 31st was, as I said before, about $5.962 billion. I'm going to highlight it again in green, the $381 million. That's the earnings component that is defined by North Dakota Century Code 2110-12. That's transferable. That $381 million is a component of the total $818 million that's been earned according to North Dakota Century Code 2110-12. On an inception to date basis. Okay. So I'll just pause for a moment and note that, again, January was a really good month. We actually had about a $44 million increase in that transferable earning numbers in the month of January alone.
Yeah. Any questions, committee?
Yeah.
So, okay, go ahead.
Just kind of thinking about some of the pending legislation. So as I understand it, the way it reads today is the $381 million or whatever that actual earned income is at the end of the day all goes to the general fund, right?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's my understanding, yes.
Yeah.
So as you play this out and look at some of the legislation that's pending, including, 3055?
Yes.
Where all of it stays in. Are you guys doing modeling to, what does that do for the overall size of the portfolio if, all of the earnings are retained rather than shifted to the general fund? Is that modeling that you do?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we have not specifically modeled for that particular scenario, but we have done lots of different modeling. Obviously, whenever you're retaining earnings in the fund, it has a dramatic impact. Whenever we think there is a significant change, and perhaps 3055 is a significant change, we can take it into account and see what the impact is. I realize some of the other folks in the legislators have done their own estimates and modeling as well, but I'll be happy to take it away from here and provide follow-up information if it meets with the committee's approval.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that, you take that bill and there's a few bills out there, and stuff, but it turns it into a, where the legislature has to act positively instead of negatively, because otherwise you got to take it out, or if you want to identify it, otherwise it just goes in general fund and it's just general fund money. And I think that was probably one of the issues is keep this an identifiable fund, because otherwise you lose track of what goes on. And then, like I said, it doesn't, markets are showing the shit, you can lose money in this, hopefully not principal, but you do lose your earning power and stuff on it. And December showed that you can talk one number and it can be drastically different a few weeks later. So anyways, any other questions, committee? Go ahead.
I know I've seen it in the past, and I apologize if I missed it, but the 381 million broken down between what's been earned in dividends and interest versus capital gains from sale of assets. And I apologize if we skimmed over it or I missed it.
No.
But I know it's been in there before. But
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if you advance to page 39.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, all good. I was actually kind of advancing myself.
Sorry about that.
Yep. So page 39 kind of breaks down the components of the North Dakota Century Code 2110-1210 earnings. And you'll see highlighted in green on this page. So this is from July 1, 2017 through January 31st, 2019. The net interest, dividend, and other income component is about $174 million. The net realized gains and losses on investments is about $206 million. We have a slight amount of income from securities lending, close to $1 million. And you add everything up, you get about the $381 million. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tax Commissioner Rauschenberg, was that the question you were? Okay. Very good.
See, and that's committee, you know, and that's the problem about pre-spending, you know, this money is that realized gains and losses becomes a very fluid number. And that's one of the things about how we define this. But it was kind of indicated to me at a committee hearing here a while back that ain't enough money when we just take the first number. So what do you do? So anyways, but that's you know, and that's like I said, I think though the legislature I think is understanding how this fund works. So I think so far it's going to stay until there's actual cash in the bank, and then we figure out from there of where we're going to spend here. So
very good.
So,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just emphasize again, that's a 19-month number, right? So we still got 5 months to go.
Yep.
And
yep.
With a 50% equity investment, although we're hopefully they can go up, things can go down as well.
Yep.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that's all I had for my prepared comments. The last thing I just want to highlight is that during 2018, we were fortunate to receive a transparency rating of a 10 out of 10 by the Sovereign Wealth Fund Institute. Previously, we were rated an 8, which is actually very good as well. But it was nice to get upgraded to a 10 out of 10, which is as high as you can get. And the only other U.S. Sovereign Wealth Fund that has that is the Alaska Permanent Fund.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier if people understand what you're doing, whether you pay attention to it or not, it's another issue. But I know that's been, because I think otherwise you can get in. I see there was a blogger had something about, you know, that's where I think you do get into trouble with the public. If they don't understand how it works, I think you get into more trouble. So I hope we keep it transparent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's our goal. All of our information is public. It's out on the website. I'm not saying that's always easy to find because we have a lot of information on our website. We're managing $14 billion of assets for 16 different client boards, 25 different asset allocations. Legacy Fund is the largest single one of it. We are actually in the process of revising our website. We hope it to be enhanced by July 1, 2019, in which we will make it a little bit easier to find things that are most commonly attracted, such as the Legacy Fund.
And this here, Dave, like on 35, that was one thing I was going to get, you know, kind of when we kind of talked about that when we were in front of the committee and stuff of how real or SID charges the fund and stuff too, because that's not included in the fees and stuff on that, but we kind of dove in. I see you got some of your real expenses.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. So the Retirement Investment Office adds about one basis point to the overall funds. That gets translated through in all of our returns. I think we, you know, RIO tends to be very fiscally prudent when traveling to conduct on-site due diligence. Our supervisor administrative service does a wonderful job kind of booking to get reasonable fares and lodging. Our investment accountant previously worked at the state auditor's office, so she got a really keen eye for making sure that we're doing everything according to the state requirements. RIO's investment staff, we're rarely going out on a point visit. We're going to try to hit 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 managers when we're doing a trip.
Yeah.
So that in itself pays huge dividends. So we might be doing something in May down in Dallas, but we know they're going to have that Invesco manager come in November. We can conduct our due diligence on a real estate manager that we've been with a long time, and kind of not have to do a separate trip for it. So it works out well. So just big picture looking at that, we've been pretty consistent. These are really small numbers overall.
Yeah.
That number of costs as a percentage of AUM, That's 2/1000ths of 1%. It's small. We're managing 14. We're overseeing the investment oversight, right, yeah, of $14 billion. Yeah. Yeah. Spend $20,000-$30,000 a year in travel is significant, yeah, but I do think it's money well spent from a fiduciary responsibility, yeah, perspective.
Well, it is, and I know you're asking for another person too and stuff, yes, on it, and that's kind of the same idea you got with that one too, isn't it, and stuff on it.
It's prudent. We're very fiscally conservative, and right, we've been able to drive down fees consistently over the past 5 years. I don't know if I have that slide in here yet. Yeah, so here's you know, just page 32 shows the growth in assets under management. Since Darren joined in 2012, where we were at about $6 billion, now we're up over $14 billion. Yeah. Pretty compelling. Yeah. And we've been able to drive down costs from about, I think it was about 85 bips about a decade ago, down to about 65 about 6 years ago, and about 42 bips now. And that's a pretty significant, if we're saving 20 basis points on $10 billion, that's $20 million a year.
Yeah.
So.
Any questions, committee?
Dave, any preliminary kind of return numbers for February?
Positive, but I have not seen, I know it's going to be at least up 1% or 2%. So I would expect more, but I would hesitate doing that until we have our numbers closed out. So for the month of January, let me just to restate, we had, so the legacy fund for the month of January generated a net return of 4.92% in 1 month. Right, that was a great month. It actually surpassed the policy benchmark of 0.467% by about 25 bips. I apologize, I don't have the February numbers, but it takes us pretty much the full month in order for us to close out. It's because we do have some private market investments, and we spend a fair amount of time ticking in time with our investment managers to make sure we've got good numbers. So,
okay. Any questions? Any other? Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Any interested persons in the audience want to make a comment? Okay. Well, I think any discussion. I think what we'll try to do is this is mainly to get kind of an idea of, to finish out the session. I think they, you know, so we kind of have some ideas of what I think what's kind of being talked on the House side is the chairman of appropriation wants another $100 million, so he wants to put to go in, basically it'll go into the budget stabilization fund, so he wants to use some of that, and but that's going to be depends what the Senate wants to do too, and then after that I'm not sure how this is all going to work out as far as that goes, because I don't think there's any, you know, there's some plans, but I don't think there's any plans until we get a little better idea here, and so we'll see what happens. The, you know, and we've talked about the mechanics of, you know, in the past of June 30th, you know, coming and stuff, so that I think is pretty understood for the most part how that is going to work, and because it's like I said in the past, all we need to do is have $200 million. We didn't, you know, I mean, and that, and like I said, and then we'll figure out the rest of it, you know. Well, yeah. And, well, like I said, it's a banker told me the other day after I got that we were actually in Medora looking at a library, and we got up, and our senator was a retired banker, and I went through this whole thing and explained how this timing works and stuff on it, and he got up and says, oh, so were you OD'd, huh? You pre-spent your paycheck. That's what he said. And I said, well, that's a good analogy that most everybody can understand what went on and stuff on it. And so I think we're good that way. But anyways, I think what we'll do is then we'll have the next meeting will be in June whenever the budget budget section meets. We'll have to have a meeting to meet that requirement, and that'll probably be the next time that we meet. So with that, go ahead.
And I'd only comment the, you know, discussion, we all feel that things are going well, but it's always, you know, are you making those benchmarks? How much is it really costing us to manage this? And I guess what we get to see here is an opportunity to see that we're well within that, that we're close, we're always close to our benchmarks, and that, you know, the basis is reasonable, What we heard is the fact that we're outperforming that, and I think that's something that, you know, sometimes we don't sell that, or you know, I think it's something I hear, but I always say, hey, they're doing a great job, and we're outperforming or generally within that benchmark. Plus the fact that you know, the cost to do this is certainly, we found a good place to invest and doing a great job, and that's, I guess I'm spouting more of what I've just seen and heard. And Dave, if you want to just tell us how good a job you were, I think I heard you say how good a job you were doing.
So this is just another handout that addresses that. It's a two-pager. It includes a summary of kind of the first page is return on our investment fees, which is, we're fortunate. It will not always be this way. There are going to be times when we will not have positive alpha every year. Okay.
So I'm going to flip to the second page because it really addresses, are we beating our benchmarks? You really shouldn't focus on a 1 year. You should always focus on ideally five or more. I did that in years 1, 2, and 3. So if you look for the 5 years ended 12/31/2018, we beat our benchmark. Now this is through 12/31/18. This is the most recent quarter end that we've tied out by about 61 basis points. So we've paid our investment managers. We've got our investment management fees recouped. Plus we generated another 0.61% return on top of it. You go back one more year, it was about 0.96. You go back 3 years, 0.91. 4 years, 0.46, 0.85. So we got a nice consistent track record for 5 years of consistently beating our benchmarks. So that speaks to it. If you flip to the first page, it kind of puts it into dollars. So if you look at 2018, kind of the bottom right-hand table, hopefully these numbers look familiar. We spent about $16.6 million in fees in 2018. We beat our benchmark excess return, that's highlighted in green, by about 1%. We had about $5.3 billion in assets outstanding for that period. If you do the math, it turns out to about $56 million of incremental income in 2018, which is great. 2017, it was about $92 million. 2016, it was a tough year. We only beat our benchmark by about 0.05%. So we recovered our investment fees, which is great, but we only created about $1.8 million of extra income. But every single year, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, we've been able to do that. That is not going to happen every year. That is fortunate and thankful, but we're going to have a year when we don't. But if you always consistently look at a trailing five-year basis, which is what we try to do here on the second page, you know, it's going to show that we've got a nice track record going here. So it just addresses your point, Senator Cohen.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, and it is, and truthfully, it's an education process with the rest of the legislators we had, even in our little subcommittee. I printed out definition of basis the other day just because it was actually after one of the meetings with you, Dave, and there's a different conversation that goes on, and people don't understand, you know, and it's not that they want to. I think it's just an education process, and I think it, like I said, this session, I was hoping this session we'd have some spending policy in place, you know, because I think the way it looks on the legislative side, it's going to be probably harder to spend this money than it is to be making it because trying to stay consistent on that. And so that's why that one resolution is probably floating in here. And I know there were some other things we've tried, but I think the assembly, anyways, on the House side, they weren't willing to pre-spend any money. So that was probably a good aspect of that. And hopefully in the next couple of years, we have, you know, decent returns and stuff, and then we can move forward with probably the way this fund should have worked was with the money in the bank, and then we figure out how to use it. But anyways, committee, go ahead.
Just something to help me, when you get that question from me, I get that question a lot, and I told people we said,
come up and who you are, what's your name? And
Kelly Schmidt, State Treasurer. I get that question a lot in the grocery store and in this building, and we've beat our goal every year for 5 years. We pay 42 basis points in fees to manage these monies. And an average mutual fund, if you and I go out and we purchase a mutual fund, it's 200 basis points is the fees, and it doesn't usually include the transaction cost. So when we say 42 basis points, people don't know compared to what.
Yeah.
And so I try to give them that comparative by saying 200 basis points is what you would pay for an average mutual fund. So if that can help you to give them a comparative, it's helped them understand the question a little, or the answer a little bit more. It's complicated stuff.
So were you in the checkout or were you?
Actually, it happens. It does happen a lot. Okay. You wouldn't believe people ask a lot. I wasn't in your grocery store though, Senator.
Okay, committee. Any other interested comments from the audience or committee? So I think that with that, I think we're pretty much done. Well, like I said, that we'll have our next meeting at the call of the chair and go from there and stuff on it. So, okay, move to adjourn. Oh, go ahead. Oh, okay. Yeah, can you get that in front of us? Yeah, for the next meeting mainly, or do you want it emailed to you, or Dave, go ahead.
Size of the fund if all the money stays
with him. Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, BND President Eric Hardmeyer, we're happy to do that. We can do it ourselves. We generally like to run it by our outside consultant. It's pretty easy. It's very easy to say zero and have the impact on it. So
yeah.
But having said that, I still want to take some time to go through it. So is it the request to have it by the next, by June, or the request to have it in the next couple of weeks, or?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think there's going to be any spending going, you know, I mean, from what we're doing with this is going to be spent, you know, this earnings are going to be spent, but.
So the expectation is that if it's House Concurrent Resolution 3055,
yeah, if all the money stays in,
so there's a 0% spend.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Yes.
And then, yeah, and yeah. You could run it kind of like we did last summer with the, you know, the coming out of, you know, the 5, 10, and 15 coming out of the, you could run that if we left some in, say there was roughly the same amount of money in there, and if you left half of it in there or you know, kind of like a 50% and
okay,
and a zero and then 100% obviously
okay, know
about, but that'd probably be so.
It's just to clarify, so in the past when we were running scenario analysis, we were doing 5% of principal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're saying 0% of principal, 0% of earnings, or perhaps half a percent of the earnings.
Earnings, yeah. Okay. We're just talking earnings on
okay,
this. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So
thank you very much,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
There was a motion to adjourn. Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're adjourned. Okay.
How's it going?